All right, now we're going to discuss the workers in Children's Church. We're going to discuss some that are vital, some that aren't, some that are nice to have. There's a lot of different positions, and I'm going to kind of go through some of the maybe the system is set up that I like to use. A similar, honestly, the way I've run a Children's Church service is very similar to the way I ran bus programs. And some of the positions and stuff and areas I like to have workers dealing with are very similar to what you'll see a lot of people use on the bus route. One of the great things about Children's Church is that it doesn't require a lot, and it doesn't require a lot of workers or specialized degrees. You don't have to be certified. You don't have to have a doctorate degree in Children's Churchology. It doesn't take a lot. Two or three people can run a program effectively and do a good job up into, you know, a certain amount of kids. But let me deal with the first. I got a few things, some qualifications listed, not very many, and there's a lot. These are very broad, but these things are vital. Number one, the person needs to be moral and trustworthy. I hinted at in the previous lesson, there's a lot of problems going around today in churches, and sadly, it's not just the Catholic churches and some of the other people we would consider enemies of the true church. It's in good independent fundamental Baptist churches too. There's problems out there, and listen, there are predators inside good churches. We've got to be on the guard for them. There's a lot of sick people out there. There's some in churches too. We don't need to give them a chance. We need to protect these children at all costs. Not only those are ours, but those are someone else's. Maybe even doubly sure because they're somebody else's, honestly. But we need to make sure those kids are safe. If you're going to have somebody back there, you don't need to worry about them being a sexual predator. They need to be worried. Honestly, I've even thought that maybe it might be best if anybody in Children's Church had a background check ran on. It may not be practical, but I'm sure give you a lot of peace of mind. But even beyond that, in moralness, they need to be examples. They need to be people the kids can look up to. Kid doesn't need to say, hey, I saw them at the movie theater last night. Or, hey, my daddy saw him at the bar Thursday night. These people need to be good Christians. Second thing, and honestly, maybe the most important one, is that they need to love children. Some people just aren't good with kids. Some people are better with different age groups. And I say I'm better with the little kids. But if somebody's going to be back there in Children's Church, they need to be good with kids. They need to love them. They need to have a heart for kids. They need to be able to communicate with kids. You don't need to have an old grouch back there. You'll scare the kids off. They won't want to come back. If you have an ogre down there, you're going to scare them off. You need to have some people back there that love kids and can convey that love to them, that where kids feel welcome, where they feel appreciated. Very important. Maybe the most important one there. You shouldn't even consider somebody to work in Children's Church unless they love children. Third thing, they need to be spiritual. Some people get involved in Children's Church ministry to get out of the main church service. Happens a lot. We've had that in our churches. The people back there need to be trustworthy. They need to love children, but they need to be pretty well-grounded spiritual Christians. They need to be able to feed themselves. They don't need to be new converts who really need to be up in the main service, being fed by the pastor and being taught and being grounded and. These people need to have everything in order. These people need to have very, very good, strong walks with God. Listen, the Children's Church ministry and the bus ministry especially, which is, you know, very related to the Children's Church, they're great starter ministries. They're stuff you can plug people into and, you know, doesn't take a lot to even be a help. I mean, it doesn't take a lot to be a bathroom monitor. So a lot of churches will take new converts and people and put them in here. That's fine and great and good, But let me tell you, I think the only thing that should surpass a person's love for children is a person's love for God if they're going to work in children's church. These people need to love God. They need to be on the right track. They need to be good Christian people. As far as position goes, I think there's really, you could probably get by two people. And really even get by with one. The main one that you need a preacher. You're not back there to play games with them. You're not back there to sing songs with them. You're back there to preach to them. You're back there to make an impact in these kids' lives. You don't make an impact through songs and games and treats and stuff. You make an impact in their lives through the preaching. That's how God works on people's hearts, is through the preaching. You need to have somebody back there who can preach, somebody who's called to preach. They don't necessarily need to be called to preach or seminary trained, but they need to be able, there needs to be a man back there that can preach. Some children's churches have a lady back there that will tell a Bible story. Listen, keep that in children's in Sunday school. When it comes time for children's church, you need a preacher back there. You need somebody who can preach on their level, who can preach effectively, who's going to preach the gospel to these kids. If there's no preaching, you're wasting your time. You're just entertaining them. You're babysitting them. You're just keeping them out of your hair. I think anybody can fill this position as long as they're effective. That's the number one thing. They need to be effective. I don't care even if they're called preachers and they've got degrees and everything else. They need to be effective, number one. But number two, they need to be qualified. You don't need to stick somebody back there who's got issues, who's not a well-grounded Christian. Maybe not necessarily even called. I'm not even talking about being called or have a degree from Bible college. But they need to be moral people. They don't need to have baggage. They don't need to be, drunks and everything else. These need to be good. This needs to be a good, solid man up there preaching. That's the main position. If you have him and one other person just to kind of be a bouncer and walk up and down the aisles, you can get by in children's church. Yeah, you should never try to run a program with just yourself. I've ran bus programs where it's just me and the bus driver. You can get by doing that, but you should never try to run a children's church program solo. There needs to be at least two people. You need to have a preacher, and then you need to have at least one of the person. There's too much stuff that goes on to distract the preacher, that if you just have somebody who can run people back and forth to the bathroom, who can keep the little kid turned around, who wants to turn around and look at everybody in the back of the room, you need to have at least two people. The first position you fill is a preacher. The second position I would fill, honestly, is a song leader. It takes the burden off the preacher. The only problem is, I know a lot of times it's just you have somebody who's very good with kids and they do them both. That's great and that's fine. If that's what you have to work with, that's what you need to do. But if you have, it's so much easier on the preacher if he can just focus on preaching. If they're like me, by the time I get through leading singing, and then if I have to try to preach, my voice is gone. It's shot. In fact, I don't know if you can tell with the quality of the recording, my voice sounds horrible tonight, but that's because we had our Christmas play tonight, and we practiced quite a bit for it, and all that singing got to me. Plus, this morning, I led a program on our church van, and then taught Sunday school and then led the singing in children's church. So, my voice has got a workout tonight or today. And so, my voice isn't very good. That's just something that'll help be a blessing to the preacher. Basically, I'm going to tell you, every position in here is just something that is something to take a burden, a responsibility away from the preacher. I heard it said in Bible college that in a church that your pastor, of course, it should be in charge of everything and be the head of the church. But then the assistant pastor come in, he needs to be, I believe it's somebody used the military term, I believe it's first sergeant, but said, he ought to be in charge of beans and bullets. So he needs to be charged with the basic things, and all his job is to take things away from the take responsibilities and stuff to free up the pastor to be more effective in his ministry. That's what they did in the church at Jerusalem. when there a problem arose and the disciples couldn't, didn't have time. They had too much stuff to go. They didn't have time to go and worry about needs being met as some widows and such. So what do? They found some men to take that responsibility away from them, the deacons. You can go in and study that out. So basically that's what the rest of the positions are. But I think if I'm going to fill one position next, it's going to be a song leader. That just takes a whole area away, and the song leader can do games. They can do a lot of stuff. And then when you're preaching, they can go out and sit in the kids and maintain discipline and run kids back and forth to the bathroom if they have to. And, you know, while they're leading singing, the preacher can be out there. They can just swap back and forth. But if two people, it works very great. You can do it. But that's the first position I'd fill. Some other very helpful positions that are that would be very helpful to fill, not necessarily required or vital, but they're very helpful if you have them. Number one is a bouncer. If you have a very large group of kids or some rambunctious ones, then you need a person or persons who are in charge of dealing with unruly kids. You need some people that are out there so that when kids start wiggling, they start trying to play, they start trying to pick at each other, they can go over to them right away, snap their fingers, maybe not do that, that's a little bit of distraction, but can go right to them, tell them to cut it out, pay attention. If you, God forbid you have it, but if you have a kid that needs to be removed from the service, that's what these people are for. I've been in some classes and stuff with some bus kids up at Clay's Mill where we had some kids that had to honestly be basically physically removed from the class for fighting. I remember one time I had to help take a kid out who was a little white boy, and he was racist, and there was some black kids in the classroom, and they were trying to pick a fight with each other. Not a very good situation, but stuff like that happens. It's sad, but it does happen. And you need to be able to be prepared for that. If you have kids start trying to fight, listen, and a lot of this just depends on what kind of group you have. If you've got a bunch of bus kids, you need a bouncer. If you've just got a bunch of church kids, you may not need somebody who's there, you know, to muscle kids around or intimidate them, but you may need somebody who's just out there to kind of remind the kids, hey, you need to pay attention to the preacher. Hey, turn around. I always do a little, I've got a little hand motion, and I don't know if it's universal or not, but it works for me, and I've got the kids trained. I just kind of, with my finger pointing down, I'll make a little circle, you know, tell people to turn around, and it works. But that's just a great person to have, just to be out amongst the kids, maintaining order, maintaining discipline. Second thing you need, very helpful, or not necessarily need, but very helpful, are altar workers. When kids come down during the invitation time, it's best that you have some people down there who can deal with them, who know what they're doing dealing with kids. Listen, dealing with kids is a lot different than dealing with adults. It takes quite a bit of patience, and honestly takes some amount of experience, because, boy, they can throw you for a loop sometime. I've been doing it for a few years, and every now and then I'll still get one that'll just floor me with something they say, or something will come up and, you know, just throw you for a loop. You know, kids can do that. But when you're dealing with kids, you've got to keep things very, very, very simple. You've got to keep things on their level. You don't need to rush. You need to make sure the kids understand. I want to deal with this in a separate section, more about dealing with a kid for salvation. But you need to have people that can deal with those. If you've got a large group of kids and you're going to have 5, 6, 7, 8 kids hopefully coming down that need to be talked to, you need to have enough workers. You can split that up. Don't give somebody 8 kids to go talk to. Preferably, you'd have it one-on-one. 2-on-1's good. 3-on-1's good. It's not as good, but when you start getting above 3 or 4 kids apiece, it's hard to talk to. I've tried to sit around the table and talk to kids, honestly, in the back of my mind, thinking, I don't think these kids are following me. I can't meet the needs of all these kids. That's one thing about dealing with kids. Every kid's different. Some kids need to, you may have to spend a little bit more time getting them lost, you know, convincing them that they're a sinner. Some kids, you may have to take a little bit more time explaining about how you are saved, you know, how it's your faith in saving. Every kid's a little bit different in what they understand and what they comprehend. And you need to be able to deal with them one-on-one, preferably. If you have a couple of kids, you can give them a lot of personal attention time. But with kids, you can't just herd them in and out. You've got to take some time and make sure they understand. I don't like these people that they're very cookie-cutter in their presentation with kids. You need to talk to these kids, give them a chance to talk back to you. When they come back, when I get a kid, when they come down to Children's Church and they come down the invitation, say they need to be saved, and they get sent to me, and I take them off in the Sunday school classroom that we use to deal with salvation. When they come in there, one of the first questions I ask them is, well, hey, buddy, what's your name? What'd you come down for? And I want to make sure that they're not coming down. Now, they just told it to the guy out there, but I want to make sure that they're coming down for the right reason. They're not coming down just because their sister came down. They're not coming down because everybody else came down. They're coming down just because they need to go to the bathroom. Every now and then, a kid like that will slip through. And you need to be ready. And that you can kind of gauge even what you're dealing with. If a kid, I don't know, well, the kid honestly may not be under conviction. They may not be quite ready to be saved. They can't tell me why they came in there. I'm immediately marking them in my mind, thinking, okay, I may need to be sending this kid out. And just because a kid come down does not mean you have to go through the whole thing with them and have them pray. That's another pet peeve of mine. It's okay to send them out. If they're not ready, throw them back in, let them grow. It's just like fishing. Every now and then, I live right out here by a little bitty lake, and don't do a lot of fishing, but right now in the lake, there's a bunch of little bitty bass. And we went down there one evening this summer, and I bet we caught a dozen, just little old bass, maybe 8-9 inches long. Fun as could be to catch those little things, but they're too small. You can't really keep them. In fact, I think that's below the legal limit. I'm not sure what the size regulations are, but you can't clean them. There's not enough meat on there to worry about. And so what you do, you throw them back. We always kid around, throw them back, say, hey, you know, go out there and grow up a little bit, and we'll catch you later, and things like that. It's okay to throw them back, and if a kid's not ready, don't brush them aside. And if they're not quite ready, I like to give them a little bit more to think about. I've gone through the whole plan with kids, the whole plan of salvation with kids who just weren't quite ready, who need a little bit more time. Even some kids who maybe wouldn't admit they're a sinner, they didn't understand the whole concept of sin, I'll give them some stuff to kind of think about. Now, not a homework assignment and not too deep, but I'll kind of give them a little bit more, hopefully to plant a little bit of seed there, that maybe next week they'll have it. Maybe it'll all click in their mind the next week. But listen, I want to deal with that. I'm getting sidetracked there, but that's something that really burdens me, that I don't think we deal with kids correctly when they come down. Third thing helpful to have is musicians. I'm not extremely experienced with working with musicians and stuff. Now, yes, I lead the singing in our children's church, but I do it all a cappella. Now, I can play the piano, and I can play it well enough to do it. It's hard to play the piano and lead the program, but I could play the piano and do it for somebody else leading the program. We don't really have anybody else who's good enough to be able to do that, or confident enough. They're probably good enough, don't quite have that confidence playing in front of people. The way I lead singing is not very conducive to having somebody come out and say. I do it a lot like running a bus program, very spontaneous, and do songs super slow motion and all kinds of crazy stuff we'll cover a little bit of later. But It is great to have someone who can play on the piano and back you up on some songs, or maybe even the guitar. That's one we don't use a lot nowadays, but they use a lot on the mission fields. If you see a lot of the mission fields, you'll see a lot of people strumming on a guitar. And tell you what, that would help too. And I think the best thing, though, maybe not even during the song service, but the best reason, the best time to have somebody back there, and hey, you can have a little girl that's a little girl or boy that's taking piano lessons even for this. But if you have somebody that can play during the invitation, all they need to do is be able to play some little song like "Into My Heart." We used to use that one quite a bit. Now we use "Seek Ye First" quite a bit during the invitation. But be able to play those songs while everybody's singing, it helps helps the mood. It also kind of gives you a little bit more of a it blends in with the noise level, and you're able to talk a little bit easier. I can't remember the exact words for that now, but the same type of deal that happens in a restaurant. That's why a lot of restaurants will play music, because even though you're sitting 2 feet away from somebody in the booth right behind you, that music tends to blend with all the conversation, and all that background noise just blends together, and you just basically are only focused on the people right there around you. It's the same type of a deal that works there if you're dealing with little kids, if you're talking with little kids. So that's why I think it's very important to have a music. If you're going to have a musician, at least have one to play during the invitation. The fourth thing, and maybe most important behind the bouncer, are bathroom monitors. Kids have to go to the bathroom. You need to allow for that. You're going to have kids that have to go every week. You're going to have kids that have to go once a month. You'll have kids that when they have to go, it is an emergency because they never, ever go during a service. But anyway, you can't just point them, say, hey, the bathroom's down the hall, turn left, third door on the right. You can't do that kind of stuff with a kid. You need to have somebody that they can go out there and keep an eye on them. You don't need them running off. I've had some escape artist kids try to use that a trip to the bathroom as an excuse to get out so they can make a break for it and try to run out. Some troublemakers will want to slip out and you know, do whatever they've got on their mind. You need to have a monitor. Now, you do not, so this goes back to some of those stuff, but you do not go into the bathroom with them. You flat out do not, period, end of story. If that case ever happens, you've got a kid in there that's puking or something like that, my recommendation, you can check with CLA, they make the Christian Law Association, they may tell you something different. But if you got something like that, you need two ladies dealing with that. You do not need to be in a room by yourself with a kid, period, end of story. Especially in the bathroom. I mean, you're asking for trouble with that kind of stuff. But if you've got a kid in the bathroom that's got a nosebleed or something like that, it's best to have two ladies deal with that. Guys should definitely not be dealing with that stuff nowadays. You're asking for trouble. Maybe nothing hopefully will not happen, but it don't look good. But you need bathroom monitors, somebody that can walk the kids to the bathroom, stay outside the bathroom, and hey, if you're standing out there, they're probably not going to try to put a lot of toilet paper in the toilet and stop them up and flood them and all that kind of stuff if there's somebody right outside the door. And it's just good policy, good people to have, or just some people that can do bathroom monitors. And, you know, a lot of that can even blend in. You know, the bouncer can be your musician and be your bathroom monitor. I'm just saying it's very good to have somebody who that's their assigned task. You know, when somebody needs to go to the bathroom, you go to brother so-and-so, you go to sister so-and-so, and then when they come back there, hey, when they come back there to me during children's church, I don't just immediately take them out there. I try to delay them. I try to see if it's emergency. I always, you know, say something like, okay, is it an emergency? Can you wait a little while? And a lot of times they'll say, yeah, I can wait a little while. And then they don't have to go till the end of the service. If it's right in the middle of the preaching, a lot of times they don't have to go. Now, you know, if you got the little 4-year-old kid who's squirming, you can tell. Sometimes they need to go. Yeah, and you let them go. if they need to. Some of those, especially those young kids, four-year-olds and stuff, you'll tell them they can't go. They'll sit there and have an accident in the chair, and it's a distraction. It's a mess. You just don't want to go there. But I want to make sure that it's an emergency, and if at all possible, you don't want to allow the kids to go to the bathroom during the preaching or the invitation. During those two times, you want to be very careful about letting kids go out there. It's a distraction, and they need to be in there, and everybody else needs to be able to pay attention to what's going on. All the other kids need to be able to pay attention to the preaching and the invitation. You don't need that added distraction, and that's a good thing to announce. It's a good thing to practice, but I'll tell you another thing, it's also a very good thing to announce and make it public policy so everybody's aware of it. Fifth thing that's kind of helpful, if you've got enough time, you've got enough space to do this, it's good, it adds some excitement, but have somebody who's like a game director, who's just in charge of having fun. If you're in a very large church, you could have a lot of fun with this. You can have them dress up, and even a small church, I guess you can do it, but you can have a lot of fun with this, but this person just kind of be in charge of making things fun. They can have their own time, and they can do whatever silly stuff they want to do. Now, the song leader needs to have fun, needs to have some silliness and fun in their routine, in my opinion, but and this would be a good thing that you can even kind of merge into with the song leading aspect of it, but it's just a lot of fun. If you have somebody who can lead in some simple games, who can just be there for fun. They're not necessarily there to be teaching a moral lesson or anything like that, but they're there to make things fun. You know, the preacher needs to be likable. He needs to be a likable person. The kids need to like him, and needs to be to some extent a fun person, I think, if his personality and the way he works with kids works that way. But he doesn't necessarily need to be the joker in the bunch. He doesn't need to be the person who is cutting up. He needs to have some authority to him. When he says something, the kids need to know, to straighten up. Because whoever is doing the games does not need to be your bouncer. Some people back there are going to have to be the bad guys. It's not fun. I've played the role before. Somebody needs to be the bad guy who deals with the kids when they get in trouble, when they're acting up, who has to get a little mean with them. At the same time, you need some people who are their buddies, who are playing the games and having the fun and hooping and hollering and jumping around and doing all that too. That's more fun. I love doing that. Gives you a chance to kind of relive being a child. But those two aspects of it, the preacher needs to avoid going to either extreme of that. He needs to be very likable, but he does not need to be that disciplinarian that everybody's afraid of and the kids are turned off from. So with those, I think that's best. If you have somebody, the first thing you have, if you have two people, the first person is your preacher, the second person, he needs to be your bouncer and your disciplinarian. And then if you had a third one, honestly, it may be a good idea that he needs to be the fun guy. He needs to be the person that jokes around and has a lot of fun with the kids, who can be the kids' buddy. And you need to be a little bit careful with that. You don't want them necessarily to steal the hearts away from the preacher. The kids really need to be in love with the preacher, and he really does need. And I'm not saying that just because, I am a preacher. God's called me to preach, but he needs to be the main one in your service, as best you can help it. But still, nonetheless, you need to have fun. You need to have discipline. Those two things, they're hard to do together. It takes a very balanced person to do them. Very few people. In fact, I can't think of anybody I know that was able to really effectively do both. Some people were very, very hard line. Some people were more of the loose and spontaneous fun type. And those are two extremes. And it takes both. You need both. You can't have just all hard line, toe the line, sit up straight. You need to have both. You need to have that fun too. So that's why I think you need to have a person, that's your role. It's not the most fun role, but you need to have a person whose role is being the bad guy, who's the disciplinarian. But then you also ought to have somebody who is the fun person, who cuts up jokes around, who puts on a silly costume, who plays the games. That's important, just kind of a little bit philosophical behind the workers and their positions. But that's just a few looks at some of the workers that you could use. You could have other people who's somebody's more of a secretary position, who, you know, if you keep a class role or something type deal, when you're keeping track of names or keeping track of people who make decisions, you know, you may want somebody for that. That would be great and very helpful. But those are ones I think that will really help you in a very basic structure. If you follow that basic structure, it'll really help you have a very effective program, and takes a lot of burdens off the preacher. That's what just about every position is. It just takes a burden off. So the person up there, all he has to worry about doing is preaching. All he has to worry about doing is getting his point across. He doesn't have to worry about getting on to kids and making them sit up and listen, and worry about directing traffic back to the bathroom. Let the workers deal with that. The preacher needs to be free to preach to the kids who are listening. If the preacher has to stop and keep getting on to kids and snap his finger and tell the three little boys that rode the bus, you know, hey, y'all straighten up, or I have to move you, and this is your last warning. If he has to do that all the time, you're going to lose all the other 40, 50 kids or however many who are paying attention. You're going to lose them when it happens. So anyway, I'm rambling on. We're going to move on here on to the next lesson. That's going to be the structure of Children's Church, a little bit about the basic program and a few tips and stuff I have concerning how your program should be run.